So when John, I think it was back in January, asked some of us from Edgewater who enjoy preaching if we would be willing to preach at various times during the year, I said, okay, sure. And these are the dates. He's offered a bunch of dates that we could sign up for, and I said, oh, I could probably do this date. And then I found out that this date was assigned the topic, when you hate your job, which, if any of you know me at all, you've heard me say at least once in the past however many years I've been here, I hate my job. Hate my job. I'm not talking about the job where I get to work with teen moms. I want to make that clear. I don't hate that job. I love that job. But God has gifted me with another job. It's a job in retail, and while I enjoy the people some of the time, and I enjoy being successful at my retail job some of the time, the harsh fact is that I hate my job. I hate my job. I want to be real with you this morning, and I'm confessing now in front of all of you, I hate my job. Last week, John mentioned that we are created in God's image, that God is a worker. God is someone who creates, who does, who makes, who works. And we are created in that image. John said we're wired, each of us, to be able to do something, to work at something, something that we're good at, something that brings us life and joy. And John, I don't know if you used this example or if it's just one that I thought of. How many of you have seen Sister Act, the second one, where Whoopi Goldberg goes back to help all the high school students, yeah? Okay, so there's this one scene where Whoopi Goldberg dressed as a nun, and we all know that's crazy. Okay, so she goes out, and there's this girl, and this girl's having a really hard time trying to discover and be who she is. And there's all this stuff going around her, and all this turmoil, and Whoopi Goldberg goes up to her, and she says, girl, if when you wake up in the morning, the only thing you can think about is singing, girl, you're a singer. So when John was talking last week about those things that bring us life, that's the picture I got in my head, and I started that day thinking about all the things that when I wake up in the morning, this is what I'm thinking about. This is who I am. I am a singer. I'm an artist. I'm a talk-to-people person. I love those things, and I'm alive when I get to do them. They fill me with joy. And then Monday rolls around. You all know Monday, right? Monday rolls around, and I have to go to my job. And I have to tell you, I can't actually name my job because I signed social group thing where I wouldn't speak badly about my job in public. So I can't actually tell you where I work. Some of you know. Please keep it to yourselves. Monday morning comes along, and I got to go to my job. I have to go to the work that I have to labor at. It's not a job I would choose. I don't enjoy it. I'm not necessarily very good at it, but I gotta go do it. It's what I labor at. Every single one of us in this room has a job. Whether you're employed or raising a family or doing research or working in retail, we all have something that every day we toil for, we labor for, we work at. And the reality, if I can be honest with you again, is that even in those jobs that we love the most, there are moments when you hate your job. Am I right? Even in the best job ever, there are still moments when you hate your job. So I forgot my prop. Last time I spoke to you, I had a lump of clay. I didn't bring any clay this morning, and I left my prop at home. That moment for me in my retail job for the last 2.5 years has been every single time, and it happens almost daily, that I have to put on my rubber gloves, and I have to go into the public restroom, and I gotta scrub the toilets. I hate my job. I walk in there, I'm pulling my rubber gloves on, and I've got my cleaner. People can't get on the cleaning and the plunging, and why can't people flush? What's wrong with with you all. I don't get paid enough to plunge the toilets. Nobody ever told me anything about plumbing. I actually had to fix the toilet once. I can knit and crochet. I don't fix toilets. I hate that part of my job. And everybody knows it. Everybody knows it because my boss has to ask me to do it. Amy, did you clean the bathrooms yet? No, I'm gonna go get... Amy, did you do the bathroom check? Well, how about, can maybe Becky can do it. No, Amy, you gotta do it. Fine then. And I'm not, I mean, it's embarrassing to stand here in front of you and say this. This has been me for the past 2.5 years, hating my job out loud so that everybody knows it. And hating my job inside so that when I'm there, like I said, I've got this litany going on in my head. I went to college. I went to seminary. I have 2 degrees. Two! I'm in debt up to my ears for those 2 degrees. And I get to scrub the toilets for it? How is this right? It's not right. I hate my job. God, I hate my job. God, I hate this job. I got word this morning, and forgive me if I shed a tear. Got word this morning that a man who was crucial in raising me up from when I was a little girl, who was a partner with my parents in ministry, who taught me how to drive, sort of, on the road down in Mexico, and who's impacted hundreds of thousands of people around the world, but who's like my uncle. He passed away this morning at about 1 o'clock, and I'm grieving for him. I'm grieving the loss of someone who is special to me, important to me, and it's amazing that he was just a hero of the faith, and I'm sad that none of you here knew him. But I got to thinking about what it was that made him so special, and I came back to this, God, I hate my job. Jerry, this man, was a person who lived his life as if every moment of every day he was in the presence of a God who was in the midst of saving the world. Every moment, no matter where he was. He used to talk to us. I had him later as a seminary professor. All through my life, this man has been there. Later as a seminary professor, I remember him saying, you know, evangelism is a great thing. He said, but what you got to be ready for is that I'm going to pray with you over the gate between our houses, little prayer. That, hey, can I help you change the tire on your car moment when you serve other people? And every moment, he said, if you pay attention, God is there and God is working. So I came back to this morning. God, I hate my job. The fact of the matter is that even when I hate my job, God is working. God is working. I want to read part of a story for you. Ironically enough, it's Joseph, who I got to preach on last time I spoke. Joseph was a man, if you don't know much about Joseph, long story short, he went to hell and back again. He was a favorite son. He got sold into slavery by his own brothers, ended up a slave, then rose to power, then got thrown into jail for false accusations of rape. While he was in jail, and then he became like the favorite prisoner, and then he ended up in the court of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and then became the second most powerful ruler in all of Egypt. While he was ruling in Egypt, Joseph then, this man who had been in the pits and out and in the pits and out, this man ended up partnering with God to save the Egyptian people and to save the Israelite people from death and from being wiped out. Okay, so long story short, if you ever have a chance, Genesis is a great place to read the story of this man. I want to read today from Genesis 39. This is the part of the story where Joseph has just been beaten up by his brothers and thrown into a pit. And along come these guys. They call them hairy Ishmaelites. I don't know why they call them that. They just do. They sell their brother to these men, and these men take him to Egypt, and they sell him to a guy named Potiphar, who's an officer of the Pharaoh. Now, the one thing I want you to keep in mind at this point, Joseph's entire life, thus far, he has been trained and working as a shepherd. Okay? So Joseph was taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of the Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. He was in the house of his Egyptian master, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. Shepherd. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. And with him there, he had no concern for anything but the food that he ate. Now Joseph was handsome and good-looking. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, with me here, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my hand. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me, except yourself, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And although she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not consent to lie beside her or to be with her. One day, however, when he went into the house to do his work, and while no one else was in the house, she caught hold of his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And when she saw the garment in her hand and that he had fled outside, she called out to the members of the household. And she said, "See, my husband has brought among us a Hebrew to insult us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And when he heard me raise my voice and cry out, he left his garment beside me and fled outside." The story goes on that she waited for her husband to come home, and she told him the same thing. And then down in verse 19, Potiphar says this. His wife says the same thing. "This is the way your servant treated me," she says. And Potiphar becomes enraged. And Joseph's master, Potiphar, took him and put him in the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he remained there in prison. It wasn't like he just went, like, overnight. He was there, and he lived there, and he stayed there. But check this out, okay, verse 21. "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love. He gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's care all the prisoners who were in the prison, and whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The chief jailer paid no heed to anything that was in Joseph's care, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper." So here's this shepherd boy, all of a sudden pretty much running the governor's mansion. And the Bible doesn't say that he loved his job. The Bible didn't say he in himself was great at his job. The Bible says this, "The Lord was with Joseph." That's verse 2. In verse 3 it says again, "His master saw that the Lord was with Joseph." And in verse 5, "The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake." So I got to thinking, okay, just looking at Joseph's life. When I hate my job, as I will, and I do, where is God? Where is God? Have you ever had a part of your job that you didn't feel like you were quite capable of doing? Things you maybe didn't entirely understand, processes that maybe weren't completely explained to you. Maybe you were given a list of things to do and you didn't understand half the things on those lists. That's a moment when you look at your job and you say, "I hate my job. I don't know how to do it." Here's the good news this morning. When that happens, not if, when that happens, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you, and those around you will see him with you, and God will bless what you're doing. Okay, so in your job, have you ever maybe had a clash with somebody you work with? Ever? Maybe you stole somebody's stapler. Maybe they stole yours. Maybe a colleague threw you under the bus and made you take the blame for something they did. Maybe somebody is just an angry person. And there's no way to deal with them that doesn't result in them shouting or being mean and just a little bit witchy. Maybe you have a boss that treats you badly. I work with, there's a gentleman who comes to clean the floors at my job that I can't name. And he was telling me about another place where he does the floors. And he said, he doesn't speak any English, and so I was just listening to his story. And he said to me, you know, Sister Amy, he said, at this other job, when I go there, my boss follows me around because he doesn't trust me. He said, and it makes me feel so horrible. And then he said this. He said, the other day I thought I would help by sweeping extra stuff on the floor. His job is to mop the floors, not to sweep. He's not supposed to sweep. He said, I wanted to do him a favor, just to do something nice. He said, and he wrote a complaint to my company that I didn't sweep well enough. There are people like that that we come into contact with every day. People who are vindictive. People who are proud. People we clash with. Joseph had a clash with a woman. My guess, this is just Amy's guess, this is not any, it doesn't say this in the Bible. My guess is that this temptation wasn't necessarily the easiest one for him to say no to. If you think about it, he's a handsome young man, he's in a position of power. And here's this beautiful woman saying, hey, I'm here. Day after day, the Bible says, he said no. Day after day, he said no, and he walked away. Some of the people that we deal with day after day after day after day. And then again some more. And we have a choice in that. Do we give in to the temptation to fight back? To throw somebody else under the bus for a change? Huge temptation for me. I have a colleague who does that to me all the time. And I want to turn around and say, yeah, but... Or do we recognize in that moment of that encounter that the Lord God is with us? Do we recognize that? It's a choice. And then there are the jobs, the parts of our work that quite frankly feel like they're beneath us. This is the one I struggle with the most. I can't tell you how many times I've stood in that bathroom and I've said, they don't pay me enough to do this. It's embarrassing. I'm too good for this job. Joseph had been the ruler of an entire household, and he did a good job, and then he got sent to prison. I can guarantee there was a time when he was there when he said, I do not deserve this. I don't deserve this. But again, you hear that same phrase, the Lord was with Joseph. So this is the point this morning. If we want to be, we can be awake to the presence of God in our lives. And it's not just like this far away, distant presence of God. The Bible says, I love this, in Matthew 28, Jesus says this, and Matthew records it as his last words. This is what Jesus says. He says, and remember this, I am with you always. Remember this. In Ephesians, in the letter to the Ephesians, we hear the promise that not only is Jesus with us, but he sent his Spirit to live inside of us. You are a walking vessel that holds the Holy Spirit. This is the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the grave. This is the powerful Spirit that conquered death once and for all. That Spirit lives in us. And then in Galatians, I love this. Galatians encourages us to actually put on Christ, to wear Jesus like a robe. We have uniforms, a lot of us, for where we work. I got the black and the khaki. That's only the earthly uniform. Those of us who have been saved by Christ have a whole new uniform, and it looks like Jesus. And we can put it on every morning, and we take Jesus with us where we go. So I come back around. And again, it's embarrassing to say this, but for the first time this week, 2.5 years into my job that I hate, I didn't wait for my boss to ask me. But when the time came, I went and I put on my rubber gloves and I grabbed my cleaner and I walked into that stinking bathroom and I said, God, I don't love this job, but I know that you're here. And that somehow you are doing something to save the world. I don't know what that means, and I don't know what that looks like, but Jesus, I know you're here, right here with me. And I sprayed my cleaner, and it stank in there. And I cleaned those toilets, and I sang in my heart, in all I do, I honor you. In all I do, I honor you, Jesus. In all that I do, I will honor you. Sang that over and over. And I came away from that. We all walked out the door at the end of this closing shift at my job that I hate. And my boss said, oh, Amy, by the way, did you get the bathrooms? I said, yes, boss. And they look great. Big smile on his face. He said, you know what? Thank you for doing that. Thank you. Little thing. So the question before us this morning is not whether or not we'll have times when we hate our job. It's not whether or not there will be people that we don't get along with. The question isn't whether or not there are going to be days when we want to just turn around and run away. Those are all going to happen. I can guarantee it. The question before us today is, when that moment comes, will your eyes be open to the presence of the God who is redeeming the world in you, around you, and through you in that moment? We're all at different places this morning. Some of us have never even known that Jesus can save us, much less the whole world. Some of us have not understood that there's a gift that we can accept, this gift of being saved from a life of boredom and insignificance and death. Some of us are where I am. We're realizing, you know what? I gave my life to Jesus a long time ago. I've been following Jesus for years. For a season, my sight went wrong. For a season, I stopped seeing God present with me. And for a season, I forgot that God is saving the whole world, and I get to be a part of that, and what a joy. Some of us are in that place, that sweet spot, where we're seeing that salvation happen for somebody around us. Even as I hate cleaning the toilets at my job, I also had a conversation with my boss not too long ago where I said, I was asking him for a day off for my Young Lives job because I needed to go somewhere with them. I don't remember. And he said, you know, I really wish that I, you know, that there was some way I could contribute to what you do. because I think it's a really worthy thing, but I'm not going to give you any money. And I looked at him and I said, you know, I appreciate that. I said, but the reality is that when you give me the day off to spend time with my girls, you just touched their lives. And he said, oh, I never thought about that. I get to help and I don't even have to do anything except give you the day off. Give me some more days off, I can handle that. How we behave in those moments when we hate our jobs, the vision that we choose to have, can either make us part of God's saving work, or it can shut people off. My challenge this morning, when you hate your job, see Jesus. Know that Jesus is there, and choose to be part of whatever it is he's going to do to save the world. Amen? We're going to pray now. God, I confess before these, my friends and my family, that there are too many times when all I see in everything that I do is me. I confess, God, that I so often think my job is beneath me. I so often think, God, that the people I work with aren't worth the time of day because they make me angry. God, sometimes I think that I just can't do this job. It's not what you called me to. It's not what brings me joy. God, I pray this morning, and I hope that these, my friends and my brothers and sisters, pray with me, that you would be changing my sight, that you would be changing my vision, and that I would be awake to you at every moment, that I would behave as if you are with me and in me and all around me, that I would act as if you are truly saving the world. To not do so is to deny Jesus what you did on the cross for us. Forgive me. Forgive us. Come and move. Be alive in us. Awaken our souls that we might sing. And God, would you let us be a part of what you do to save not just us, but the people around us, this city, this nation, this world. We love you, and we are so thankful that you keep coming back. That Jesus, you promised you are always with us, even when we don't see. In Jesus' name we say, amen.